You're listening to an AppleBiz podcast.
Hello there. My name is Thomas Domville. I'm also known as Anonymous. In that podcast, I'm going to kind of review two different apps that utilize something called LiDAR. The two apps in question, I'm going to do a simple process or a review or walkthrough for you. One is called Super LiDAR, which is the developers behind SuperSense did this particular app. And then, of course, we have the Microsoft Seeing AI that a lot of you are aware of. Now, they both now incorporate something called LiDAR as a feature in these apps. So Super LiDAR, that's all it does. It just does LiDAR capabilities, where Microsoft Seeing AI, of course, does a lot of other things like color identification, currency, sound, and lights, etc. But one of those new things is called World, which is also utilized LiDAR. Let's sit back here and talk about LiDAR first. Yes, LiDAR is not a new technology. It has been around for many years in military uses, and even today in our automated cars that you may have heard, and such as Tesla. However, the LiDAR technology that are in within our eye devices are in its infancy stage or new to these devices. I am using my iPhone 12 Pro. This is the first model that utilize LiDAR, and it's the only model besides the iPhone 12 Pro Max when it comes to the phone line of Apple devices that offers LiDAR. So essentially, a LiDAR is a 3D sensing kind of a mapping thing. So think of it as a sonar. So if I place the camera in front of me, it's going to do a mapping around in front of what the camera sees. So it will do mapping in 3D, and of course, this is all AI, and artificial intelligence will then assume, that's a table, that's a chair, that's a door, that's a window. It has some potential. It is definitely in its infancy state. I'm doing this podcast because a lot of people have asked me, you know, is that something I should get? Should I buy the iPhone 12 Pro or Pro Max for the LiDAR? Am I missing out on things? So I'm going to show you an example of what these two does, and you can kind of judge for yourself what I'm talking about. So it's really trying to educate you where we are going with the LiDAR. Now, the LiDAR has a limitation, has a severe limitation in my book for me to be able to use it in the real world. And I'll explain more to this. And that is the distance. Well, it can only go out 15 feet. That is it. So it only sees what's in front of you 15 feet. If I am doing a fast walk with my guide dog or with my cane, 15 feet is not very much. Sure, if I stood still, look around, or go very slowly, I think LiDAR has got some neat things it will do. Not something that is really useful, and no, I don't think it's worth upgrading to an iPhone 12 Pro just for the LiDAR. No way, it's not there yet. So I'm going to have you judge for yourself. So let's take Super LiDAR here first. Now, before I open this, I want to give you a heads up. As soon as I open it up, you're going to hear a tone. And the tone will indicate the distance, and we'll talk about that. What you will not be feeling, and it doesn't do any justice to explain in an audio podcast, is that it does give a haptic feeling. So you get this vibration feeling. So it is very nice, and it's predominant. You can feel, you can literally feel the things around you as you move around. It does a very good job in kind of in a 3D sense. I can go around a thing, and it gives me this haptic feeling like I'm going around like a box or something. It's kind of, it's a really weird feeling. It's kind of cool, but I'll give you my two cents and what I've done in the real world with this. Right now, I'm in my podcast room. There isn't a whole lot to show you, but I at least want to show you the basic, simple walkthrough of both of these apps. So let's start with Super LiDAR.
Super LiDAR. Double tap to open.
Okay, so here's Super LiDAR. I'm going to go ahead and double tap and open.
A person without Super a mask. LiDAR.
All right, so right now I'm feeling a haptic feeling, and it is pretty strong right now. Oh, there's a sound too I was telling you about. So let's go to a real open space. You hear that high pitch? It means there's nothing in front of me. Now, the closer I get to an object, goes really low. So I'm literally in front of it. And the haptic is going tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick real fast. And the further away, there's no haptic feeling. So the closer you get to it, the stronger the haptic gets. And so is the sound. Now, in theory, what's supposed to happen is supposed to identify objects around me. Now, my experience with the Super LiDAR has been not a lot of object recognition is being seen. It does basic things like
table at 0 feet.
There you go. It does tables, doors, windows, seats, which is kind of cool. I'm going to go just spin around and so you can hear for yourself and what we got.
Door at 8 feet. Door at 10 feet. Table at 3 feet. A person without a mask. A person without a mask. A person. Window at 6 feet.
So you get the legit idea. Now, there wasn't a whole lot being spoken there, and that's just because of the limitation I have, and space-wise, I'm not able to walk around. I was able to detect seats, table chairs, windows, doors. Very simple stuff it can identify. If I go to the left here.
Open menu. Button.
I have the open menu. Let's go back right.
Stomp detecting. Button. Stomp detecting.
I'll start detecting. Stop that. One finger double tap. There's only two buttons here. It's either start or stop. And I noticed that the recognition is a little bit slow. So another one I'm saying is as I was panning too quickly, it wasn't really able to pick up things very quickly. So I had to go very slow in order to sense it. Ah, that's what that is. And that's one of the problems I have with the LiDAR. It's just not really fast. And so, yes, it's pretty cool that it detects all those items and objects. And theoretically, on paper, it would be useful, right? So if I'm outside, if it detects things and that is in my way, and the haptic portion is pretty quick. It does detect very fast. It's the object recognition isn't so great. I'd rather have the haptic myself, so I can see if there's something in my way. The only problem I also have with the LiDAR is that where do I put the phone? At first, I thought maybe putting a lanyard around my neck and put the LiDAR and the phone facing out as I walk. The problem is the camera. Where is it pointing? And I noticed a couple times that it doesn't pick up a couple of things, and I have to point the camera a little bit downward. And that's because it will pick up the object down below you, where I have to move my chest upward to detect things upward. I wish it had a better depth of field, and I think that's a limitation of the camera view. It's probably why that we have this limitation. So when I'm walking with my dog or my cane, I notice that when I use my cane, it doesn't pick that up, which is great. When it does, I can kind of feel it going, the haptic goes a little bit back and forth, but it's very subtle. It's not in the way, which is kind of cool. It's not great for close quarters, as in if you are in a tight, small room and you have to get in between things, it doesn't really does a whole lot. I don't know. It just seems like it's okay. It seemed to do a lot better the larger space you have, and then it has object. Obviously, I think that makes a little more sense. When you have more space around an object, it can sense out that object better and it'll let you know that it's in its way. If you have a medium-sized room, it does a so-so job. Is it something that I can replace my cane and dog? No way. Just because the slow recognition of the object, I think that's the downfall, number one. The haptic is nice, but again, you're only got a 15 feet distance. So when I'm walking with my cane, I can cover 15 feet in seconds. And so by the time a haptic comes up, yeah, I suppose it could help me if I'm about to approach a car that is parked in front of a sidewalk. It'll just tell me the object is coming up and it'll start just tell me, indicate I might be coming up to something. In that case, I can see that might be something that would help us. But at this point, Not so much. And I noticed that the using LiDAR is battery intensive. Oh my gosh. It's like having a GPS program out back in the old days. Some of the GPS are just so hard on the battery, and so is the LiDAR. Now, I promise I'm going to show you another item here on Super LiDAR. Now, you know that I stop and start the process of LiDAR. There's a menu here. By going to the left here.
Open menu.
It's a menu. Double tap that.
Detection type. Heading.
Yeah, you can detect different types. So I'm going to show you the several options you have. There's not much in this setup area.
Detect people.
You can have it just detect people only. And yes, it will detect people, plus if they're wearing masks or not.
Detect environment.
You can detect the environment, which is the object recognition I was telling you about, which is pretty limited at this moment.
Detect all. Selected.
Or by default, it has it all. Now, there's a couple other options here.
Super LiDAR. Heading. Help. Button.
You got the help area if you need more help to understand what's going on.
Request a call. Button.
If you want to leave some feedbacks and thoughts with the people behind this app, you can double tap that to give them a call.
Rate Super LiDAR.
And you can rate the Super LiDAR itself. And that's essentially all the app has to offer. Now let's flip the coin here and change tables around. I'm going to head over to Microsoft Seeing AI.
Super LiDAR. Seeing AI. Double.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and double tap and open this.
Seeing AI. Menu. Button.
I'm going to go to the bottom of the screen here.
Channel. Currency. Adjustable.
So there's
the
channel
to adjust the value.
You have to tell Microsoft Seeing AI what you want to recognize. So I'm going to flip up until, as I say, I'll swipe up until we get to world.
Document. Short text. Product. Color. Preview. Handwriting. Light. Scene. Preview. Person. World. Preview.
There it is. Now, world. Now, this has a little bit more. Let's go to the top here.
Menu. Button.
You have the menu button. Now, go to the right.
Proximity sensor. Button.
We have the proximity sensor. I like this because this is the same haptic feeling that we had Super LiDAR, but we're able to turn that on and off, which I super like this quite a bit. So if you don't want the haptic feeling, but you still want the recognition to go, it will do that. So if you double tap that, it will turn it on. And we'll select too. So I'll show you.
Selected. Proximity sensor.
Selected. Double tap again.
Proximity sensor.
It becomes unselected. Now, because this is an audio podcast, when I double select that, you felt this vibration. And it gets a strong, nice, subtle haptic feeling when you're close to something. And when you're far away, you will feel like no haptic going on. The cool sensation about the haptic is that I can go around an object and actually feel the haptic around a wall or a table. It's kind of a neat sensation because you got that LiDAR 3D aspect where the regular camera in 2D, you wouldn't get that. They don't have this depth field, but the LiDAR does. So you can actually kind of feel going around it and an object, which is kind of cool, the haptic. So the haptic kind of is basically works about the same way as a Super LiDAR. Now, it doesn't have the sound that the Super LiDAR have. Personally, I don't like the sound. I wish the sound was a little different. I'm not a big fan of that sound. I prefer it would have an option to turn that off, which you don't. So you can't turn that off in Super LiDAR. Microsoft Seeing AI does not have that. Now, what it does have, you go to the right.
Quick help button.
You have the help.
Spatial summary button.
The spatial summary is cool. If you have a headphone on, and when you go around the room with an object, it will, in spatial audio around your headphone, tell you where things are located. So if I just spin the camera to, let's just say to the right, it sees a window. Go in front of me, sees a bottle. And to the left, it sees a door, right? If I hit spatial audio, you'll hear that the window is to my right. Bottles in front of me, and then I hear the mention of a door to the left, which is kind of cool. But my most favorite
place beacon button
is the place beacon. Yes, this is kind of a cool thing, and I'll show you how this works. But let's go ahead and do the same thing I did with the Super LiDAR. I'm just going to go around the room and see what it picks up, and you'll hear the difference of what kind of object recognition this has.
Laptop, window, bottle, door, laptop, mouse.
Now, you'll notice that the object recognition is a little bit more. It has a little more identification. For example, this time, it noticed a bottle and such, where the Super LiDAR did not. So, I think the Microsoft Scene AI has a little bit more in its arsenal or toolbox of what things is being recognized, other than the generic things between a table, door, and windows, which Scene AI does as well, but it also picks up additional things that Super LiDAR does not. I think over time, Super LiDAR, as it adds more things to the database, will offer that. Both of those are way over underwhelming when it comes to the magnifier and the Apple magnifier. If you have never tried that, open up the magnifier and then just kind of look around. It does object recognition too, but it's way better. It does so much more object recognition. So Apple by far is probably has a pretty good jump on this when it comes to object recognition. Now, of course, Apple magnifier does utilize LiDAR. For example, it does the same thing as Super LiDAR and Microsoft Scene AI in World. It will sense the area around you, and that's how the object recognition works in the magnifier. Also, for example, if somebody were to stand in front of the magnifier and you point at that person, it will tell us their height. So that is a great example how the LiDAR is working. It's able to tell you from one point A, from your toes to your head, and be able to tell us the height. And within people detection, same philosophy. It also gives us an indicator in how far it is in front of us from you to the person in front of you, and it gives us a distance that is using LiDAR. Place beacon. This is a cool option here. So let me show you what this has. Remember when I spun around, it has all the distance meter. Well, if you want to place a beacon on an item and to take you to that beacon, you can do this. I'm going to show you how this works.
Place beacon, heading.
Now, we are going to go to the right.
Done. Button. Detected objects. Window, 5 feet. Picker item. Adjustable. 1 of 8.
So
swipe
it was
up or down
me
with one finger to adjust the value.
All these things that it picked up in the proximity I was at.
Laptop, 2 feet.
There it is.
Bottle, 6 feet. Bottle, 8 feet.
That's kind of cool. Two different bottles. That's helpful there. Tell me the two different water bottles in my room here.
Door, 10 feet.
Door.
Mouse, 2 feet. Book, 0 feet.
Got all these different things, right? So you pick the beacon you want to search for. So let's go find...
Mouse, 2 feet. Door, 10 feet. Bottle, 8 feet. Bottle, 6 feet. Laptop, 2 feet.
Now, I know it says 2 feet, but let's just say that was 10 feet out. And you are not quite sure where it's at. If we hit the start, so if I go to the right of here...
Start button.
...is the start button. I'll start making this sound, and it's kind of like, let's play hot and warm game. The hotter you get, the better the sound, and the closer you get to it, the different sound you do it. And if you're on top of the item, it'll tell you that you're there, because it'll just say there's the laptop right there. So let's start.
Laptop. Menu. Button. Laptop.
So essentially what I did, it knew I was 3 or 4 feet away from the laptop. I started out far and it gives me the honing sound until I was able to locate the keyboard. So the closer I got to it, once I got on top of it, then it stops and says keyboard. Now, during this time, you are still able to do object recognition, as it's saying right now, saying book, chair, etc., because I'm moving the camera around. So that's portion of it is the Microsoft Scene AI using the world. So I want to give you kind of a heads up for you to hear if you don't have the experience of being able to use LiDAR. As I mentioned before, the haptic in both apps are useful. I think it can be useful. I find the Microsoft Scene AI haptic a little better. If I had to pick the two, which I think has a better haptic sensing, I think the Microsoft Scene AI has that down pat. When it comes to object recognition, again, as you heard for yourself, Microsoft Scene AI has that down too. It just has a handful more of object. Not a lot of object recognition. It has a few, just like Super LiDAR, but it has just a few more things. I think it can only grow from here as the object recognition gets better and it recognizes a lot more things. Now, can I use this in the real world as I was beginning with the podcast from the get-go? And I talked about, is it worth getting the iPhone 12 Pro at this time to get the LiDAR? Me? Not really. And you got to hear for yourself. Now, you may have a personal preference or a different need for it than I do. I think that's great, and I think that's what's important. The options is there. Now, I think you can also relate that it's in its infancy. It is not, as I mentioned before, when I use my cane or my dog when I go on a walk, can I put this on a lanyard? Yes. Could it help me with some of the object in front of me? Possible. Is it great in object recognition? No way. It's just not there yet. I don't think it's very helpful. You know, if you're in a foreign room and you don't know where everything is, I suppose it could help you. There's a table over there and such like that. It is not something that you're going to be able to say, oh, find the remote or something that's small, because optic recognition isn't there yet. I think at some point you can place a beacon on it, like on the CNA. I'd love the beacon port, is that if you're just unable to find that bottle of water and you just put the beacon on it and then and it will take you to it, you will find it. It's got some potentials there. Both are just underwhelming when it comes to real-world usage. Obviously, you never want to use it to replace your walking or with your dog, of course. And as I mentioned before, the distance is just very limited, especially if I'm walking. At 15 feet, we can cover that distance so quickly. The haptic feeling of obstruction or something in front of you, I think it would be there. However, as I mentioned before, it's about that camera field. And if you're not pointing at the right direction, it may not even see that. There's been a couple times where I have an ottoman that it senses the ottoman. It doesn't tell me that it's there as an object recognition. However, when I got closer and closer, it didn't show that. I didn't get the haptic feeling, and I ran into the ottoman. Because the ottoman is very short, so it's not higher than my knee. It's lower than my knee height. And that gives you kind of an idea. So that's not a good thing. If a door's closed, yeah, obviously, because you're pointing at the door and it's going to go beep, 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 and it's going to tell me the door closed, which is kind of cool. But if you're walking really quickly, you better have a fast sensory and just stop all of a sudden. Obviously, if it's a door, we know something's coming up, we would slow down. So if you're in a slow down position, it does a pretty good job in when a haptic, but when it comes to walking, I don't think it is quite there yet. I still run into things and that field vision, you know, if I put the phone down too far looking down, it's not going to show me anything upward. There's, you know, if the refrigerator door is open or a pantry door. I mean, how many of you had a pantry door? Somebody, one of your kids left that open. That would have been kind of cool to let me know that pantry door is open. Yes, I know that's a kitchen, but I don't know if that pantry door is open. And if you're like me, I'm guilty of this. I don't use a cane when I'm in my house. I know my way around the house. And if I had my cane, yes, I would have been able to see if that pantry door was open. Otherwise, I would have to carry this phone around and put it out in front of me or in a lanyard. Is that realistic? I don't know. If you're in a Walmart, same thing. People are going to look at you like, why does she have the phone out like that? I get it. I don't care what they think and things like that. But if it was on a lanyard, and I suppose if I had earbuds on and that sensory thing, that would be kind of cool. I think that would be useful. It tells me how far they are in front of us using the haptic feeling. I think that's pretty cool. But the people detection, I still think in the Apple magnifier is better at people detection in front of you. It's free and it's built in. I like that. And plus, it tells me how many feet instead of just a haptic or sound distance. I like knowing how far it is. Otherwise, I'm just kind of gazing around, moving around myself, trying to figure out where that person is. It's use common sense. It's not quite there. So in a short summary overall that we have listened to in this podcast, first is the limitation of 15 feet. I think the hardware only has room to grow, and the potential to maybe further this distance would be a great benefit. But this is maybe years to come, or even in the next model, who knows, with Apple. But this is something I would like to see extended to make it more useful in a quick pace. Number two, object recognition, as you heard, is in its infancy stage, as in terms of numbers of objects it can recognize. It's very limited this time. The good news is that this can only grow now and to the future. So at any time that Super LiDAR, Apple, or Microsoft want to incorporate more object recognition, they can do that now. And so we will only get more and more objects being recognized 3. Lastly, I think as a whole, it has potential and it is something for you to hear. And as you heard yourself, there are some things that it needs to be worked on. So I hope this puts some ease to those areas. Maybe you're asking yourself, I wish I'd gotten that iPhone 12 Pro just for that LiDAR. And now you can just sit back and say, well, maybe that was not a bad idea to hold off. Or if you're like myself, we went ahead and did it. And you now know the experience that we have. I'm sorry for the lengthy podcast. I just want to do this because I figure people would like to hear about it, where we are with the LiDAR, and how far we must go until we get to the point where I could say, this is really cool, you got to have it, and etc. If you don't feel otherwise, if you think this would be very useful and something that you would like to use, let me know. Leave a comment on this podcast. I would like to hear how this has been helpful to you and if it's something that you would use in the real world, realistically, and a real use. All right, my name is Thomas Donville, also known as Anonymous. Until next time, bye-bye.
This AppleVis podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleVis.com. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple device, visit www.applevis.com.